外昆塔之音服务员一聆听，各位尊敬的奉献者，大家早晨好。今天是2019年6月1日星期六，我们非常荣幸地邀请到亲爱的萨提亚·德瓦帕布为我们讲述今天的盛典博加瓦坛的早课。感谢大家的聆听。 Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna. OK, I'll start by chanting and then we'll have our class.
Hare Krishna, 大家早上好。然后我首先的话呢，来跟大家一起唱诵一下，然后就开始上课。
Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Puravani Pachamane.Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadinda Shri Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Hari Gaur Bhaktavinda Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare RamaRama Rama Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya And Hari Hari Bol. So good morning to everyone in China.
这是中国的奉献者们，大家早上好。
And Thailand.
还有泰国的奉献者们，大家早上好。
And whoever else is listening.
还有任何地方的在聆听讲课的奉献者们，大家早上好。
So today, yesterday in China was the appearance day of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur.
在昨天的话呢，在中国应该是 Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur 的显现日。
And today, you know, because we are a few hours behind you. It's his appearance day here.
所以由于美国的时差的话呢，比中国的时间要晚，因此在这边的话，今天是他的显现日。
So he is a very significant Vaishnava in our line.
他是我们这条线上非常重要的 Vaishnava.
In fact, he's considered the incarnation of Vyasadeva.
实际上他被认为是 Vyasadeva 的化身。
And so, I'd just like to take this opportunity to read a little bit about his life and, say a few words, and then we'll continue with our, reading of Srimad Bhagavatam.
因此我想趁着今天这个机会的话呢，能够谈一谈，就是阅读一下他的人生的一些生平，然后再跟大家谈一谈他的一些事儿，然后接着我们再继续上瓦坛的讲造课。
So Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, he actually wrote the first biography of Lord Chaitanya.
实际上 Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, 他是第一位著作了关于主 Chaitanya 的传记的这样一位 Vaishnava.
And then later, biography,which included the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya that Vrindavan Das Thakur had not mentioned.
而后在他就是写下了这本传记之后的话呢 Srila Das Kaviraj, that's right, that's his name?
Yes.
Srila Das Kaviraj, 然后他所写下的关于主 Chaitanya 的这个逍遥时光Vrindavan Das Thakur 没有之前写到的主 Chaitanya 的逍遥时光的。
So the biography that most of us know is called the Chaitanya.
我们大家都知道的这个传记的话呢是 Chaitanya Charitamrita, 就被译为永恒的主 Chaitanya 经。
And that was written by Krishna Das Kaviraj.
而这所写下的传记
years old and he was blind.
而当他写非常年迈了90岁的样子而且都已经目盲了
So previous to the Chaitanya Charitamrita Vrindavan Das Thakur he wrote a book called Chaitanya Bhagavat
而就在这本 Chaitanya Charitamrita 被著作之前 Vrindavan Das Thakur 就写下了主 Chaitanya 的传记名字叫做 Chaitanya Bhagavat
So we'll talk a little something about Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur
所以我们现在就来谈论关于 Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur 的一些事迹吧所以首先我们要来提提他的母亲。他的母亲
，Sri Narayani Devi。
他的名字叫做 Sri Narayani Devi。
She is the niece of Srivas Pandit。Little girl, she used to eat the prasadam, the remnants of Lord Chaitanya's prasadam.
然后当Sri Narayani Devi 当她还是个小女孩的时候，她 Tanya 的这个 prasadam.
So Vrindavan Das Thakur in his book Chaitanya Bhagavat, he.
Vrindavan Das Thakur 在他的书著作Chaitanya Bhagavat 当中就提
She was known to have very great
主 Chaitanya 的这种非常伟大的情感而被众人所知晓的
Yeah, so sometimes she would receiveAll the remnants of Lord Chaitanya, you know, whatever was left on Lord Chaitanya's plate, she would eat all of it.
而有时的话呢，就是无论就 Chaitanya 的这个盘子当中剩下了多少的这些prasadam 剩下了多少的食物的话 ，Narayani 她都会把所有的这些食物给吃掉，给荣耀。
So she received incredible mercy from Lord Chaitanya.
因此他真的是从主彩坦尼亚那里得到了令人难以置信的这些非常棒的荣耀这些祝福
it's mentioned in the scriptures that there are three very powerful substances that can awaken one's bhakti.
在经典当中就提到有三种非常有力量的这种物质是可以来唤醒一个人的 bhakti 的。
The dust from the feet of pure devotees.
那么第一种就是纯粹奉献者的莲花足上的尘土。
The water that has washed their feet.
第二种就是去清洁了纯粹奉献者的莲花足的水。
And the remnants of their prasadam.
然后第三种就是他们的 prasadam 的这个剩余的 prasadam。
And Narada Muni is a case in point.
嗯，而 Narada Muni 就是一个很好的例子。
Right, it's meant he tells his story in the first canto of the Bhagavatam. He talks about how he.
然后在这个瓦坛的第一片。得以觉醒，怎么成为奉献者的
？When he was a little boy, he didn't have a father. He just lived with his mother.
嗯，当 Narada Muni 还是个小男孩的时候，那个时候他没有父亲，他只是跟母亲住在一起。
And she was a cleaning lady.
而他的母亲是一位清洁女工。
And during the rainy season.These great devotees, they stayed in one particular house for 4 months.
而在雨季的时候，这些非常的伟大的奉献者，然后就专门住在了他们家里。
So his mother used to clean their room.
不是住在他们家，然后就当时他母亲的话呢，是作为一位清洁女工，就会去打扫清洁他们所住的地方。
And because he was a little boy, he was also in the room with her.
而由于呢，拉姆尼年纪很小，所以他也跟他的母亲一起待在那个房子里。
So one day he asked these great devotees if he could. They gave permission, and so he ate their prasadam, and he became an awakened devotee.
所以有一天，那拉姆尼就问这些伟大的奉献。
So in the same way, Narayani became the great devotee of Lord Chaitanya. And Vrindavan Das Thakur, he took birth from her royal womb.Appears that Vrindavan Das Thakur, he was
So in those days, if a woman lost her husband, this is, it could be very bad for the woman because they may not have any way to support themselves.
而在那个时代的话呢，如果一位女性要是失去了自己的丈夫，那真的是非常糟糕的，因为这样的话呢，这位女性她就是不会有太多的方式能够在生活当中得以支持自己。
So he mentions that his mother took shelter in the house of Sri Vasudevdatta.
Sri
Vasudevdatta.
Vasudevdatta. 然后，于是他在书当中就提到，他的母亲曾经是托病了 Sri Vasudevdatta。
So he's a great, great devotee of Lord Chaitanya.
而 Sri Vasudevdatta 他是主柴坦亚的一位伟大的奉献者。
So basically, Vrindavan Das Thakur, he grew up in the house of Vasudevdatta.
所以基本上 Vrindavan Das Thakur 他就是从小就生长在这个 Sri Vasudevdatta 的家里。
And so they also lived very close by to Sri Vas Pandit.
所以说他们当时居住的是离 Sri Vas Pandit 非常近的地方。
Yeah, so Sri Vas Pandit is the uncle of Narayani.
而 Sri Vas Pandit 是这个 Narayani 的叔叔。
Yeah, so Vrindavan Das Thakur, he always had the association of Sri Vas Pandit and his wife, Malin. So by this time, actually, Lord Chaitanya had already taken sannyas and moved to Jagannathpur.
到这个时候的时候，主 Chaitanya 已经成为了这个 sannyasi， 然后搬到了加格纳特普里。
Yeah, so at the time that Lord Chaitanya left the world, Vrindavan Das Thakur was still very young. Maybe he was around 20 years old.
而到主 Chaitanya 离开这个世界的时候，那个时候 Vrindavan Das Thakur 依然很年轻，大概就是20岁左右的样子。
Now, Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur is initiating spiritual mastery. Is Sri Nityananda.
He's initiating spiritual mastery. 而 Vrindavan Das Thakur 的启迪灵性导师就是 Sri Nityananda.
And that's the last disciple that Nityananda initiated.
并且他是主尼强南达最后启迪的那位一位门徒。
So after Lord Nityananda left the planet, Vrindavan Das Thakur, he took shelter of Nityananda's wife as his shiksha guru.
而在主尼强南达离开这个星球之后，Vrindavan Das Thakur 就脱替了主柴坦亚的妻子。作为他的 Shiksha Guru.
Okay, Lord Nityananda's wife, her name is Sri Janava. Sri Janava Mata.
而主尼强南达的妻子的名字叫做 Sri Janava Mata.
And so after Lord Nityananda left, she also became a spiritual master and had many disciples.
因此在主尼强南达离开这个地球之后，他的妻子的话呢，也成为了一位灵性导师。
And so, it was actually Krishnadas Kaviraj who proclaimed that Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur was the incarnation of Vyasadeva.
实际上就是 Krishnadas Kaviraj 说到的是 Vrindavan Das Thakur 是 Sri Vyasadeva 的化身。
So of course Vyasadeva, he wrote all, he gave us, or he wrote all about the intimate pastimes of Krishna in the Bhagavatam.
当然我们都知道 Vyasadeva 他在这个圣典博迦瓦坛当中写到了所有关于 Krishna 的逍遥时光，这些亲密的逍遥时光。
So in the same way, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, he wrote down all the wonderful pastimes of Lord Chaitanya.
因此以同样的方式 Vrindavan Das Thakur 他也著作了所有关于主 Chaitanya 的这些非常美好的逍遥时光。
Of course, there's many pastimes of Lord Nityananda as well.
当然他也提到了很多关于主尼强南达的逍遥时光。
And, you know, whoever reads the Chaitanya Bhagavad written by Vrindavan Das Thakur also becomes purified and becomes a devotee of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya.
因此当然任何一个阅读本大文大斯塔库尔所著作的 Chaitanya Bhagavat 然后都会获得净化成为主 Chaitanya 和主 Nityananda 的追随者。
Of course no one can write a book about Lord Chaitanya or Lord Nityananda unless he's empowered.
当然除非一个人能够获得主的力量的赐福那么否则的话他是不可能能够写到关于主尼采丹大和主采丹两个任何的这些逍遥时光的。
So if we read Chaitanya Bhagavat or we read the Chaitanya Charitamrita we can understand that actually Lord Chaitanya is speaking through these devotees.
因此当我们去阅读采丹两巴格巴和采丹两 Charitamrita 我们是能够明白主采丹两他是通过这些著作者然后来讲话的来诉说的。
So that's just a little bit about one of the great Vaishnavas in our line of the cyclic succession.
因此我刚才谈到的就是我们这条使徒传系当中一位伟大的奉献者然后就谈论了这么一点点关于他的一些事情。
So, all glory to Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur.
所有的荣耀都归于 Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur.
And all glories to his book, Chaitanya Bhagavat.
所有的荣耀都归于他的著作 Chaitanya Bhagavat.
All right, now we'll continue with our Srimad Bhagavatam reading.
那么现在的话，我们继续来学习圣典薄伽瓦坛的早课吧。
And we've been reading from Canto 6, Chapter 2.And last week we read text 21.
So this week is 22?
Yes.
那么我们今天一起来看到第六篇第二章的第22节。
So we learned last week that the Vishnu Dutas and the Yama Dutas were having this conversation.
我们在上周已经学到了 Vishnu Dutta 和 Yama Dutta 之间进行了这样一次谈话。
In the previous chapter, the Yama Dutas were speaking to the Vishnu Dutas, explaining why Ajamila should be taken to hell.
然后在上一章节当中 ，Yama Dutta 就在向 Vishnu Dutta 阐释到为什么女性求娶。
And up to this point in chapter 2.The Vishnu Dutas were explaining to the Yama Dutas why Ajamila was not a candidate for hell because he had chanted the holy name of the Lord.
而到第二章到目前为止这一点，就是 Vishnu Dutta 然后在对 Yama Dutta 解释到为什么阿伽米勒不应该被带到地狱星球去，是因为他当时在临死的时候念出了主的圣名。
And the Vishnu Dutas have been describing the glories of the holy name.
而在这一章节当中 ，Vishnu Dutta 就在谈论圣名的荣耀。
But now their talks had stopped.
而到现在这一刻的时候，他们的谈话就结束了。
And the Yama Dutas had left to go back.To the planet of Yamaraj to tell him what had happened.
Yamadutta 就离开了那个现场，然后回到了 Yamaraj 的星球上去，告诉 Yamaraj 就是发生了些什么。
Actually, they were feeling very discouraged and defeated.
而实际上 ，Yamadutta 他们的内心是挺灰心丧气的，然后就觉得好像被打败了一样。
And they had many questions to the master Yamaraj.
或者很多的这种就是疑惑疑问，想去问他们的主人 Yamaraj.
Apparently, the Yama Dutas had never been stopped from executing their duty of bringing a sinful person to hell.
因为很明显的就是亚马杜塔是从来就没有就是在他们去执行自己的职责把一个罪恶的人带到地狱星球去受到惩罚的这个他们的这个职责过程当中是从来都没有得到过就是这种被别人阻碍过阻止过的。
Yeah, so the Vishnu Duttas are still there. Ajamil is still there. He's still alive. He hasn't died.
So only Yamadutta have left those. Yamadutta, 他们那一群是离开了，而 Vishnu Duttas 和这个阿加米勒还在那儿，然后阿加米勒还没有死。
And that's where we are in the story.
所以这就是我们故事所讲到的现在这一块了。
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Vijapasa Vinimukto Gatavi Pratindata Vam Vande Sisasa Vishnu No Kinkaram Dasanotsava Dvija
Brahmana Ajamila.
Asat
从锁套中
Vinyamukta
为解救
Gatavi
不再恐惧
Prakritim Gata
淡然醒悟
Vavande
致以虔诚的礼拜
Shirasa
通过顶礼
Vishnu
主 Vishnu 的
King Karan
像谁是谁的仆人
Dashana Utsava
因见到他们而十分高兴
Translation Having been released from the nooses of Yamaraja's servants the Brahmin Ajamil now free from fear came to his senses and immediately offered obeisances to the Vishnu Duttas by bowing his headat their lotus feet. He was extremely pleased by their presence, for he had seen them save his life from the hands of the servants of Yamaraj.
译文从阎罗王仆人的锁套中被解救下来的 Brahmana 阿加米勒此刻不再害怕并幡然醒悟他立刻恭恭敬敬地向 Vishnu 命令执行官的莲花族顶礼他们的出现使他十分高兴因为他看到他们从阎罗王仆人的手中救出了他的性命 Can continue with purport?
Yes, please.
要紧外师那瓦也是 Vishnu 的命令执行官因为他们执行 Krishna 的命令主 Krishna 十分渴望在这个物质世界里的腐败受制约的灵魂去脱避于他从而得到拯救今生不再受物质痛苦此后也不必去地狱受到惩罚为实现他的这一愿望外师那瓦便努力使受制约的灵魂清醒过来像阿加米勒那样幸运的灵魂于是得到 Vishnu 的命令执行官外师那瓦的拯救回归家园回到守神身边 And the purport
Om Aganata Nirandashan Nirandana SalakayamChakshurumalitanyena tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada.
我恭敬地顶拜我的灵性导师 A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
He opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge.
他用知识的火炬照亮了我的双眼。
Even though I was born in the darkest ignorance,
即使我是诞生于黑暗的愚昧之中
So I offer my humble obeisances to him and to all our Param Gurus.
因此我向他献上我前进的顶拜向我们的使徒传世当中的所有的顾虑献上顶拜
And I also offer my humble obeisances to all the Vaishnavas listening, participating in the Srimad Bhagavatam class today.
并且我也向今天参加盛典博加瓦坛的早课的所有的奉献者献上我谦卑的顶拜。
So let's discuss the scene a little bit.
让我们先来一起讨论一下现在的这个场景吧。
Initially, Ajamil, he saw the Yamadutas coming for him.
在最开始的时候，阿加米勒他看到亚麻都塔就过来抓他。
As we mentioned, sometimes people before they die, before they leave their body, they can actually kind of see the subtle plane of existence.
我们之前都提到过，就是在那些即将要死亡的人来说，他们会能够提前就看到那个精微层面的那个世界的那种状况。
Sometimes people just before they die, they report seeing angels.Or they report seeing their already dead, you know, passed away loved ones, or even sometimes they report seeing what sounds like the Yamadutas.
曾经的话呢，就是都有人就是报道过，就是提到过，在他们快要死亡的时候，这些濒临死亡的人，他们看到了天使，然后或者是看到了自己曾经亲人。死去的那些亲人的话呢，出现在他们面前，或者他们所描述出来的、所见到的那个人的话呢，样子就像是亚麻都塔那样。
So Ajamil, he saw three very horrific looking beings coming for him.
因此啊，对阿加米勒来说，他当时就是看到了三个长相非常可怕的人，然后就过来要抓他走。
It's mentioned that there are three Yamadutas.
所以说被提到的话呢，就是有三位 Yamaduta.
They represent the sins that we create with our mind, with our words, and with our actions.
然后而这三位 Yamaduta 就代表了我们运用自己的心意和言语和行为所犯下的罪行。
Yeah, so when Ajamil saw the Yamadutas coming for him, he was terrified.
当阿加米勒看到这三位 Yamaduta 来抓他的时候，他是害怕的不得了。
And really, in a state of terror, he called out the name of his son, Narayan.
就在他当时看到了他们三位亚麻都塔的时候，他处于这种极大的恐惧之中，然后就瞬间就喊出了他儿子的名字 Narayan 了。
And so when the Yamadutas came before Ajamil, they tied up his subtle body with ropes.
然后因此当亚麻都塔出现在阿加米勒的这个面前的时候，他们就用绳索。把阿加米勒的那个精微躯体给捆住了。
And they were about to pull the soul and the subtle body out of Ajamil's gross body.
然后他们就准备要把这个阿加米勒的精微躯体这个灵魂，然后从他的这个粗糙躯体当中给拉出来。
But because he had chanted with the holy name of the Lord Narayan, simultaneously.The Vishnu Dutas appeared and stopped the Yamadutas.
而由于就是他在这种惊恐之中喊出了主 Narayana 的圣名，也就同一时刻 Vishnu Dutta 然后就出现在他们的面前，然后制止了这个即将要行刑的这些 Yamadutta.
And then this discussion began between the Yamadutas and the Vishnu Dutas, and Ajamil, he's there just.Listening to the whole thing.
而由此的话呢，在亚麻都塔和这个维辛都塔这两方，他们就开始谈话，开始交流了。而阿加米勒就站在一边聆听。
But then the Vishnu Dutas, after they finished talking, they cut the ropes from Ajamil, and he was free.
而在这个谈话结束的时候，威逊的督塔就把这个阿加米勒手上的绳索给割开了，然后阿加米勒就被释放了。
and the Yama Buddha is left, very disappointed.
于是亚麻都太就非常失望地离开了。
So that's the scene.
所以这个就是当时发生的那个场景。
Now, suddenly, Ajahnil, he's free of fear.
而现在突然之间阿姜彼得就不再感到恐惧了。
And you can just imagine how relieved he must feel.
那大家真的可以想象一下当时的他会是有一种多么这种释然的感觉。
Have any of you had a near-death experience?
大家有没有就是遭受过那种濒死体验呢？
Maybe I told this story. Once I was on book distribution. Actually, book distribution had just begun.
可能我之前都给大家讲过我的这个故事。就有一次我在那个参加派书活动。当然那个时候的派书还是最早期的时候的那个开的派书活动。
Yeah, I was a new devotee, relatively new devotee in San Francisco in 1971. Even though I became a devotee in 1970 in Japan.I went to the San Francisco temple for some training.
然后当时那次的派出活动的话呢，是1973年的时候，那时候我还相对来说也算是个新人，因为我也是在1970年在日本那边成为奉献者，然后在当时在日本生活，然后过了几年，1973年的时候，我就回到了这个三藩市那边，然后旧金山那儿，然后去接受一些培训。
So up until that point.In ISKCON, there were only a few temples, but devotees would go out on Harinam.
然后当到1973年的时候，伊斯康还就只是有几座庙而已。然后而奉献者们都会走到大街上去进行 Harinam.
And on Harinam, they would sell incense and Bhaktivedanta had magazines.
而在那个年代的时候，就是在哈尔南的活动当中，奉献者们会去向路人们就是销售那个香，就是点燃的那个香，然后好闻的那个味道的香，然后以及的话呢，就是销售那个回归守神的杂志。
And the devotees had never imagined selling Prabhupada's books.
而那个时候的奉献者完全都没有想过要去销售帕帕的书。
You know, to sell a big book is a little different than selling a magazine.
因为卖书的话呢，和卖杂志实际上是两回事。
It wasn't something that had been done.
因为从来都没有人去干过嘛，就是去卖过帕帕的书。
Even in normal business, people would sell, you know, newspapers or magazines on the street, but they wouldn't sell books.
因为就是对于那种普通人民来说的话呢，就是大家就可能在街上会有贩卖那些报纸或者是杂志的小摊，但是都没有那种摊贩会去销售书籍。
But one day we were driving our Sankirtan van back to the temple and we were out of gas, so we pulled into a gas station.
而有一天的话呢，当时我们就一群人开着那个就是那个Sankirtan的那个小货车，然后开车开回庙，然后开到路上的时候，由于那个汽油就快没了，于是我们就开进了一家那个加油站。
But we didn't have any money.
但是那个时候我们身上都没有钱。
But the Krishna book had just come out. It was one of the first big books to come out.
而那个时候的话呢，就是 Krishna book， 也就是那个快乐的源泉，就是讲 Krishna 的那个消时光的那本书，刚刚就是被写好，刚刚就是被排版，然后做好卖成书，然后就是做好那个书的样子。
It was a large, beautiful book, two volumes, and it had a silver cover with a picture of Radha and Krishna on it.
当时那本书刚刚被做出来的时候是非常非常漂亮的，只有两卷，然后封面的话呢都是银色的，然后封面就是 Radha Krishna 的那个样子画像。
So one of the devotees, one of my god brothers, I think it was Buddy Mata. He went to the gas station attendant and said, "We don't have any money, but we'd like to sell you this book."And we'll use that money to pay for our gas. Is that okay?
His name is Buddy Mata, right?
Bodhi Manta.
Manta, oh, Bodhi Manta. He wanted to sell the book to the gas station people.
Yeah, he said, he went to the gas station attendant and said, you know, I'll give you this book and you pay for our gas.
Oh, okay. Then I remember when the car was no oil, called Bodhi Manta. And the
gas station attendant agreed.
结果那个加油站的工作人员就同意了。
From that moment, really, the devotees realized that they could actually sell a book.
然后所以从那一刻开始，奉献者们才意识到，原来我可以在大街上就去派发书籍，就去卖书呢。
And that very quickly, the news spread all over the movement, and people, the devotees started going out door to door, on the street, wherever, selling the Krishna book. And I would say within 2 years, the movement just began to explode and grow, and book distribution began like that.
Many people were becoming
devotees, and all of the devotees were going out to sell books. So one day I was in a busy shopping area of San Francisco and I was selling Krishna books. And this man walked up to me. And he looked very angry. And he was screaming at me.
然后他当时就朝着我，对着我尖叫。
Like to get out of there.
然后对着我吼，就是让我赶紧滚。
And then he pulled a gun.
然后他就从裤子里掏出了一把枪。
And he put it right to my head.
然后就把那个枪直接，那个就抵在了我的脑袋上。
And I thought, I'm gonna die.
然后当时那一刻我就想，接下来我玩完了，接下来我肯定要死了。
And I was looking into his eyes, and I could see he was really considering, you know, to shoot me or not.
然后那一刻我就直接看着这个男的眼睛，我就看着他的眼睛，然后我就看得出来，他真的是在考虑，就是要不要扣动那个扳机，要不要把我给杀了。
And in my mind, I was praying to Lord Srinidev. I was afraid to say anything because I thought if I said anything, he might shoot me.
然后当时那一刻的话，我根本就什么话都说不出来。然后因为我想，如果我是开口说话向那个人求情或怎么样的话，很有可能他就直接会开枪了。然后我就只是在心意里，然后对准星哈德祈祷。
And then at that moment, the man put the gun down. And he turned and he walked away.
而在那一刻的时候，然后那个男的他就把枪放了下来，然后放在腰包里，然后就转身就离开了。So,
I felt great relief. I should still be alive.
所以说，在那一刻的时候，我真的也是感到巨大的松了一口气，就真的一种感到一种巨大的释然，知道自己竟然就活了下来。So
I can understand that maybe Ajahn Mill is also feeling great relief to still be alive.
所以说的话呢，我也能明白，就是在这个瓦坦这故事当中所提到的，当时阿扎米勒就是被亚玛杜塔给释放以后的话，然后他肯定也是大松一口气，然后真的就觉得哇，这一次逃脱了。
So he was feeling grateful to be alive, but he was feeling even more grateful towards the Vishnu Dutas because he realized they had actually saved him from going to hell.
然后因此在那一刻阿加米勒他就对自己能活下来然后感到是非常这种充满感恩之情的但是的话呢他对威士努多塔的那种感知情是更加庞大的更加巨大的因为就正是由于他们才使得他没有去到这个遭受地狱的这个痛苦
So here in the story Ajahn-myo in great relief feeling great gratitude he's bowing down to the Vishnu Dutas
And
realizing how close it was, he was, you know, he almost had to go to hell with the Yama Dutas.
然后在那一刻，阿加米勒就意识到，然后就差那么一点点，然后他就差点就会跟着这些Yama Dutas去到地狱星球了。
So in the purport, Prabhupada is mentioning how actually all Vaishnavas are Vishnu Dutas who are very concerned about the suffering of conditioned souls.
而在钥匙当中，帕帕就写到，实际上所有的Vaishnava都是Vishnu Dutas，所有的Vaishnava他们都非常在意，非常就是想要帮助那些受
条件制约的这些灵魂清醒过来，让他们不再遭受痛苦。The Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya says that one of the qualities of a Vaishnava is that they are paradukaduki.
在永恒的主Chaitanya经，Chaitanya Charitamrita当中，主Chaitanya就说过。
So dukkha means suffering.
So dukkha 的意思就是受苦.
So paradukkha means the Vaishnava suffers to see the suffering of others.
所以说刚才那句梵文的意思就是说，Vaishnava因为看到其他的那些受苦的灵魂，看到他人受苦的那种境遇境况，而内心也遭受了痛苦。
So the Vaishnava, he feels compassion for suffering humanity.
因此Vaishnava对于受苦的人类是心怀巨大的同情怜悯之心的。
Of course, people think they're happy when they're enjoying.
当然人们都认为在他们享受的时候他们是非常快乐。
But mostly, even when people are enjoying, they are in a state of fear.
但是实际上在大多数时候,即使在人们在享受的时候,他们也是处于一种恐惧的状态的。
Because they know that it's all going to come to an end.
因为他们都知道所有最终这一切的话呢都是会结束的
And nobody knows when their end is
并且没有人知道就是到底这个终点是在哪一刻会发生
So even as much as we try and distract ourselves away from thoughts about death everyone knows it's coming it's inescapable
所以说即使是我们很多人或者说每一个人都在尽自己最大努力的让自己分心然后走神就是让自己不去考虑到或者死亡的那一刻的来临但是的话我们每个人都知道死亡是必然会来临的是没有任何一个人能够逃得掉的
Baya Dutiya Vinibesha Prashad Baya means fear
So Baya 这个词的意思就是恐惧
So as soon as we forget ourselves in our relationship with Krishna, we're in a state of fear.
一旦当我们遗忘了真正的自我，遗忘了我们和Krishna之间永恒的关系，那么我们就会处于这样一种恐惧的状态之中。
And that fear is always in the background, as we go through life, that fear is always there.
而在我们度过自己的人生，在每一天的这个人生体验、人生经历当中，那种恐惧实际上都是在那个背景当中的，都是从来没有离开过的。
So when we forget ourselves in our relationship with Krishna, we feel afraid.
因此当我们遗忘了真正的自我，遗忘了和 Krishna 之间的关系，我们就会充满了恐惧。
And we also feel unhappy, dissatisfied.
并且我们也会感到不快乐，感到不满足。
And we're always searching for happiness.
由于我们总是感到不快乐，感到不满足，所以总是在寻求快乐。
We're trying to fill that deep hole in our heart.
想要试图去填满内心的那个巨大的空洞。
So that's suffering.
这就真的是一种痛苦啊，一种受苦的状态。
So it's like when we have a disease, we suffer.
这就有点像是当我们遭受了一种疾病的话呢，这种病痛会让我们很痛苦。
But then if somebody gives us some medicine.
但是如果在我们生病的时候，有人给了我们药。
And we become cured of our disease.
然后因为这个药的话，我们就得到了治愈。
Then we become very enthusiastic to give others who are suffering the same disease the medicine that helped us.
而后的话，我们自然就会内心充满了很大的热情。想要把同样的这个药物然后给予那些患了同样疾病的那些人。
So the Vaishnav is very compassionate towards the conditioned souls who are suffering in ignorance.
因此 Vaishnava 对于那些遭受着无知愚昧的这个受到物质世界制约的这些灵魂的话是心存极大的同情怜悯之心的。
Especially the Vaishnava that's not suffering anymore.
特别是那些已经不再受苦的 Vaishnava.
But actually, to take some trouble to help the conditioned souls awaken knowledge of themselves and their relationship with the Lord, this is actually considered the highest kind of worship of the Lord.
The highest worship of the Lord. 而实际上的话呢，专门去就是专门去帮助那些受到物质世界制约的这些灵魂，帮助他们觉醒，帮助他们去觉悟到永恒的自我，觉悟到和 Krishna 之间的永恒的关系。那么所有付出的这些努力，这些辛苦的话呢，就被认为是对于主的最高的崇拜。
And this gives the Lord, you know, helping those who are in ignorance realize their true self and their relationship with the Lord. This gives the Lord the most pleasure.
而能够真正帮助这些遭受愚昧无知的影响的，然后这种受苦的这些个体灵魂来帮助他们觉悟到自我，觉悟到和主之间永恒的关系，就被认为是能够带给主最大的
Actually, Krishna says this in the Bhagavad Gita. He declares this.
实际上 ，Krishna 在《佛家梵歌》当中也提到了这一点。
I think it's chapter 18, verse 68.
应该是第十八章六十八诗节。
Ya idam paramam guhyam madbhakti shvabhyasati.Bhaktimaye param kritva manivaishas yasamshayaha. For one who explains the supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end he will come back to me.
18.68对向奉献者解说这至高无上的秘密的人，其奉献服务获得了保证，最后他必回归于我。
So Krishna is very pleased by those who teach Bhagavad Gita.
因此 Krishna 对于那些能够教导佛家梵歌的那些人，那些奉献者来说是非常被取悦的。
Now once Lord Chaitanya, not Lord Chaitanya, Lord Shiva, he also made a similar statement.
曾经主希腊也做出过非常类似的说法，他也说过非常类似的一句话。
I think this is in I think it was in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam.
应该是圣典国教瓦坛的第八篇。
Yeah, Yoshida says, Tapyante lokatapena sarva praya sojana karma radhanam tadi purushasya kilatmana. So we have this word, karma radhanam.
所以这个词 Parama
Aradhanam Aradhanam means to worship.
Aradhanam 这个词意思就是去崇拜的意思。
So Paramam means the best or the supreme.
Parama 的意思就是最好的最至尊的意思。
So here Lord Shiva is talking aboutWhat is the highest worship of the Lord? What is it that gives him the most pleasure?
因此在这个世界当中主希腊就谈到了什么才是对于主所能进行最高的崇拜方式，什么才能最为取悦主。
So he says that those great personalities who accept, voluntarily accept difficulty or suffering to help suffering people.
所以说他提到就是那些非常伟大的人，非常伟大的奉献者，他们自愿去受苦，自愿去就是面对困境，去经历这些困难，然后来帮助那些真正受苦的受制约的灵魂。
This kind of action taken by a devotee to help conditioned souls
所以说这样一种行动是由奉献者自愿接受的，这样一种行动自愿 采取的这种行动来帮助那些受苦的人。
In other words, when an awakened soul goes through, you know, accepts difficulties to wake up the sleeping souls, that gives the Lord in the heart the most pleasure.
所以说换言之就是那些已经觉醒了的灵魂主动的去接受困难，主动的去面对困境，来唤起那些还在沉睡的灵魂，而这样的行为就会最为最为取悦内心当中的主。
Yeah, that makes sense actually.
这实际上完全说得通，对吧？
The way is explain it, the soulAnd the super soul are like two birds sitting in a tree.
维达金都已经解释到，个体灵魂和至尊灵魂就像是站在一条树一根树上的两只鸟一样。
One of the birds, the soul, is just busy eating fruit. He doesn't even notice his friend next to him.
而其中的那只鸟，那个代表个体灵魂的那只鸟，然后就只是忙于吃食而已。完全没有注意到站在身边的那位朋友。
And the other bird is just watching the bird eat.
而另外一只鸟就只是看着这只鸟吃东西。
And he's wondering, when are you going to stop eating and turn and look at me?
那他就在想，你什么时候才能吃得完，然后才会注意到我就站在你旁边吗？
And so, if somebody on the outside,you know, is able to confront the sleeping soul and say, wake up, Jeev Jago.
Someone outside can confront the Jeeva soul.
Yeah, it's an intervention, right?
Okay, I see. 所以如果要是这个时候有个人外在的一个人啊，能够去打断这个正忙于吃食的这只鸟，然后这个忙于这个物质世界的这个纯粹的个体灵魂的话，那么这真的就是太伟大太了不起了。
Wake up, you're dreaming.
赶紧醒过来，你在睡觉呢。
You're dreaming that you're separate from God.
赶紧苏醒过来吧，然后一直做梦，还以为在梦里面还以为自己跟神相分离的呢。
You're imagining that you're this material mind and body.
你还在梦里面想象着自己就是这个物质的躯体，这个物质的心意呢。
Therefore, you're afraid of death.
因此你才会这么恐惧死亡。
and you're feeling so unhappy.
然后你才会感到这么的不快乐不幸福。
You're looking outside yourself for happiness, but you're never finding it.
你总是在自身之外去寻求快乐幸福，但是你永远都不会找到的。
Wake up, you've never been separate from the Lord. He's sitting there right next to you. He's the source of your life.
赶紧醒过来吧，然后你才能够去注意到站在你身边的你的主，然后才会知道你从来都没有跟他分离过，你才会明白，你才会觉悟到他才是你生命的源头。
So imagine how happy the Lord in the heart feels to see this intervention taking place.
所以大家可以想象一下，就是当这一幕发生的时候，这个个体灵魂内心的主会是多么快乐的能够看到，就是由于这个外界的这个干扰，然后使得这个沉睡的物质灵魂开始有那么一丁点苏醒了，他会是多么多么的开心。
Yeah, the Lord in the heart is very excited. Finally.This distracted soul is going to look at me.
内心当中的主就开感到是非常非常的兴奋的，他说：“哎，终于这个总是不断被打扰的这个个体灵魂，现在开始有一点点苏醒过来，开始能够注意到我的存在。”
Finally, his suffering is going to come to an end.
终于，这个个体灵魂所遭受的痛苦快要走到终结了。
Yeah, so Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita that those who are demoniac, who, you know, who are envious, you know, of other people, and who are violent, they actually torture the soul within.
Oh.
They torture the super soul.
Krishna 都在佛家梵歌当中提到，对于那些有恶魔属性的人，也就是那些对他人心怀嫉妒的人，或者是非常暴力的人，实际上他们都在折磨着内心的超灵。
Yeah, because just like, you know, the awakened soul suffer to see the conditioned soul suffering, so does the super soul.
除了就正如这个已经觉悟了的个体灵魂的话呢，他们看到那些受制约的还依然处于愚昧当中的灵魂还在受苦上，这些超然的人，这些已经觉醒的灵魂也会受苦。那么同样的超灵的话呢，看到那些在受苦的灵魂的话，超灵也是会受苦的。
Yeah, it's just like sometimes people have nightmares and they're screaming in their sleep.
就像有时的话呢，那些人会做个梦，然后还在睡觉的时候就开始尖叫，然后就被那种巨大的恐惧给侵袭着。
But they can't wake up.
但是在这种噩梦的状态当中还没有办法醒得过来。
But those who are awake, they feel very sorry. Oh, we have to wake this person up. They're suffering in this dream.
而那些如果是那些已经觉醒了的、已经苏醒过来的人的话呢，就会对这样一个在梦里面遭受这么多痛苦的人，然后感到很抱歉，然后就会想着赶紧把他给叫醒，这样他就才不用受苦呢。
Yeah, let's get some water and throw them off.
找些水，然后把这些水洒在这个人的脸上，可能就能帮他醒过来了。
When I was in the fire department, if somebody was snoring too loud, we used to throw toilet paper on them.
当初我在那个消防队里上班的时候，然后晚上大家不是住在一起睡在一起睡觉嘛，然后如果要是有人打呼噜的话，太吵，我们就把那个厕所的手纸丢到他脸上去。
Please wake up.
赶紧的把人家给弄醒，赶紧醒过来吧。
Yeah, so, Prabhupada's mentioning in the purport that this is the nature of a Vaishnava is that they feel they suffer when they see the suffering of others.
所以说这就是他在要旨当中所提到的 Vaishnava 本质。就是当他们看到其他的灵魂也在受苦的时候，然后这些外师大法他们也会受苦。
And they suffer because they used to suffer in the same way. They know what it's like.
而他们之所以会看到别人在受苦的时候他们会受苦，是因为这些外师大法曾经也是遭受过同样的痛苦的，他们知道那是一种什么样的滋味。
Krishna also talks about this in this compassion of the awakened being. the awakened being has compassion for others because he used to suffer in the same way, so he understands.
So Krishna 也提到过，就是为什么这些已经觉醒了的灵魂的话，他们会对依然在受苦的个体会充满了极大的同情怜悯之心，因为他们也曾经体会过、体验过，他们能够明白、能够理解。
Now, he talks about this in chapter 6. Oh, yeah, chapter 6, verse 32. Adma pamina savatma samam pasyati yojana sukham vayari vadukham sayogi paramomata.And so we have this word again, dukkham, which means suffering.
So in this world, he also mentioned this word, dukkham, and dukkham means suffering.
So he is a perfect yogi, who by comparison to his own self, sees the true equality of all beings, both in their happiness and their distress, O Arjuna.
译文 Arjuna 呀，完美的瑜伽师关照自我，认识到一切生物无论是处于快乐还是悲伤之中，都是真正平等的。
So the desire to help others awaken is a natural thing. It's nothing we have to be fanatical about.
因此这种想要帮助其他受条件制约的灵魂得以觉醒的这样愿望，实际上它是非常自然的，是一种天生的愿望，所以说完全不是我们需要对此就是抱着极大的狂热心态要去帮助别人觉醒的。
Sometimes people become a little fanatical about preaching.
有时的话呢，有些人可能会对于传教会心怀极大的狂热之情。
Because their motivations are mixed.
因为对于他们来说，他们的动机是混杂的。
They know that if they're famous as a great preacher, that people will approve and accept them and worship them.
因为他们知道，如果他们做一位传教士，然后能够获得声名的话，能够就是因为自己有很了不起的传教力而得到，那么就会得到人们的认可，得到人们的接纳，得到人们的崇拜。
So that's one thing I learned on book distribution, that when I had some personal motivation, the books were very hard, actually hard to sell.
所以说这是我在这个派书活动当中所领悟到的一点，就是如果我要是带着这种个人的动机去派书的话，那么我基本上是很难能够把书给卖出去的。
Often people would refuse. They could feel I was a fanatic.
很多时候人们都会拒绝我，因为他们能感受得到就是我挺狂热的。
But if I was actually detached,
但是如果我是真的是一种很超然的那种心态，就是完全不执着的那种心态。
And generally concerned about the other person.
然后是真正的去关心在意我派书的那个人。
Then people sometimes would just come up to me and ask for a book.
那么当我是这样一种心态去看书的话，有时人们都会自动走过来，然后自动的来询问这些书籍。
So the super soul is always watching, and he knows our motivation.
所以说超灵总是在观察着我们的，他超灵总是知晓我们的动机是什么的。
So to the degree.That we are no longer suffering and we have actually become happy in Krishna consciousness. To that degree, we'll actually have purity.
所以这就取决于我们在 Krishna 知觉当中是在多大程度上不再遭受痛苦，在多大程度上能够真正的感到快乐幸福。那么这种程度就决定了我们有多么强大的这样一种愿望，想要去纯粹的帮助别人。
Yeah, we can purely have a pure desire to help others awaken.
那么这样的话，我们才会有一种纯粹的愿望，想要去帮助他人觉醒。
So Krishna is very pleased by that.
所以 Krishna 的话呢，就会被我们这样一种是纯粹的愿望所真正的被取悦。
Now, we don't have to be fully awake ourselves. We just have to honestly appreciate whatever we've gotten ourselves. We can give that to others.
而我们要做的就只是去诚实的去欣赏并且感恩我们所从这个休息会上资源当中所获得的我们能够真诚的去诚实的去感恩去欣赏到这一点那么自然而然我们就想要把自己所得到的能够去给到别人
We don't necessarily have to be an expert doctor
我们并不需要让自己成为一个专家级别的医生
If there is an epidemic, some disease,
如果要是有一种这种流行疾病在发生着,
and people are dying,
然后人们都在遭受着这种传染病,然后在接二连三的死亡都报,
and you have the same disease,
而你也患上同样的这样一种流行疾病,
but somebody was kind enough to give you the medicine,
而某个人的话呢是非常仁慈的把这个治疗这种传染病的药给到了你
And you are actually taking that medicine
然后你确实在服用这个药
And your symptoms are going away and you're actually getting healthy again
而这个药是真的有作用的你的这些症状都在消失着然后帮助你都在真的帮助你痊愈了
You can give that medicine to others. You don't have to be a doctor.
那么你是不是也是同样的可以把这个药给予到那些在患病的人，而你本身并不是一定要成为一个医生才能够去给别人给药的？
So, Prabhupada took this opportunity to talk about the quality, this compassionate quality of the Vaishnavas.
所以说他就趁着这个机会，然后谈到了这个Vaishnava所具备的这种。
Yeah, so just as the Vishnudutta saved Ajamya from going to hell, the Vaishnava may go out to meet people to help them awaken and also avoid going to hell.
所以说正如那些Vishnu的命令执行官Vishnudutta们拯救了像阿扎米勒那样幸运的灵魂那么Vaishnava也走到 走出去，然后去帮助那些沉睡的灵魂得觉醒，帮助他们能够回归家园，能够不会去遭受地狱星球的痛苦。
Okay, so I'll quit talking now, and I'll open it up for questions and comments. I think we may have some questions from last week. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay, let's have a look. 所以现在正课就讲完了，我们就来看一看今天大家问的问题，然后看看，哦。 对, Smoky Malaji 已经把上个星期一六的问题发下来了 Yes, there are two questions from last week Smoky Malaji has sent them 其实我们现在就在看一下然后大家如果有问题的话呢都可以提的我们来看一下上周遗留下来的问题顶拜咕噜就上面大家混着吃饭是否分享卡玛这个问题继续发问 从进入 Krishna 自觉开始，我就被告知，如果我们荣耀的 Prasadam， 这种说法其实没有经典依据吗？ So one person was asking the question that following about people sharing, you know, their food, not sharing, just you know, eating other people's food. Does that You know, is that sharing the karma? So this devotee is asking that since the day I have entered the Krishna consciousness, I've been told that if we did not wash our hands or mouths before glorifying the prasadam, then we should not touch other people's food, otherwise contaminating other people's food. And we should also not eat other people's prasadam except the maha of a spiritual master. So this kind of statement has no old scripture as the basis, but has no does not come from the scripture.
Oh, I see. I understand. Yes. So, well, this is not everything we have. certain things that we do are just common sense.
比如说有些事情我们在做的话呢，是因为它是常识，所以说我们就做。
Yeah, so out of respect for ourselves and for others, you know, we should always wash our hands, before we take prasadam or before we serve prasadam to others.
所以说，那么出于对自己和对其他人的尊敬的话，我们在就是荣耀prasadam或者是派发prasadam之前的话呢，我们都会先洗手。
And generally, we shouldn't take the remnants of other people's prasadam because whatever, you know, we touch our hands or our mouth too, we contaminate with viruses and germs.
Whatever we touch our hands, you know, to the same we contaminate.
Our mouth and our hands contain germs and viruses, and so whatever we touch,with our hands or with our mouth becomes contaminated.
With
viruses and germs, you know, you can't contaminate prasadam. It doesn't become not prasadam, but it still can be contaminated with germs.
Oh, I see. 并且的话呢，一般情况下我们都不会就是去触碰然后他人的食物，而原因是在于的话呢，就是我们的嘴巴和我们的双手都沾染了细菌和病毒。然后如果是这种沾满细菌和病毒的嘴巴或者是这种手的话呢，去触碰到别人的食物就会污染别人的食物，当然你是不可能去能够污染得了 prasadam 的，因为 prasadam 是不可能被任何这种物质的东西所污染，但是的话呢，由于这种细菌和病毒的这种可能性的存在，因此就是最好是不要去触碰别人的食物。
So that's all I have to say about that one.
这就是就你的问题我能够所说到的。Okay, the next one. Okay, 我们来看下一个问题。请问咕噜，奉献者应该怎样面对家人的疾病晚期呢？明知已经无可挽救，是否还要借贷来交付高昂的医疗费用来维持生命？这是一种对躯体和灵魂的折磨吗？还是仁慈呢？还是我们对家人的躯体的依附呢？怎么做才是对家人最有帮助的？Okay, so this devotee is asking that how should devotees deal with those family members who have suffered from the last stage of a serious disease. So it is evident that, you know, this kind of disease cannot be cured because it's the last stage, like a cancer or something. So should I still borrow the money from the bank to pay for the very expensive medical fees to sustain the life of the family member? Is this kind of torture to the body or the soul, or it's actually a mercy? Can I see actually this is as an attachment to our family member's body, or what can I do actually to help the family?
Well, this is a, you know, a difficult and personal question.
可以说这是一个非常困难的，并且也是一个非常私人的一个问题了，个人的一个问题了。
And you know, a medicine is a practice differently in different societies.
在不同的社会的话呢，对于医药的运用是不一样的。
So the way people look at death and disease and terminal disease.Kind of depends upon the culture sometimes.
Terminal disease, you mean like those deadly disease?
Yeah, like a person, there's no cure. They're definitely going to die.
I see, but
the way people face that, some people deny that, some people don't talk about it, depending on the culture.
而人们就是对于这个死亡哈，对于疾病以及对于这种就是必然会带来死亡的这些疾病的，他们的这种观看的方式，就他们的想法也是取决于文化而不同的。那么比如说对于某些文化当中的话呢，可能就是直接会否定这种死亡的存在，死亡的可能性，而另外一些文化的话呢，肯定就是会觉得这根本就反正就是带有一种极大的否认的这种状态，不愿意接纳。就举个例子。
So even doctors in China, doctors in Japan, doctors in America, they deal with that question very differently.
因此就对于比如说日本的医生或者是中国的医生或者是美国的医生他们在面对这种就是疾病晚期的时候的话他们的这种处理方式他们看到疾病的方式都是不一样的
because it reflects the culture
因为他们的这种对于疾病的处理方式实际上也反映了当地的文化
but attitudes towards death and medicine are changing
而实际上就是对于死亡和药物的这种态度的话从全球来看都是在变化着的
So in America now it's quite common you know, for doctors to tell the patient you know, early that their disease is incurable and there's nothing we can really do and this you know, expensive cure won't work
那么在美国的话呢现在很普遍的一种做法就是在早期的时候就对病人说你所犯的这个你所患的这个疾病的话呢是无法被治愈的我们没有任何的药物能够来把你给治愈了而如果你要坚持这个治疗维持生命的治疗的话呢会是非常高昂的这种代价的这种医疗费的
However we'll do whatever you want us to do but weYou know, we recommend that you just go home and die.
那么我们没有完全按照你的这个想法，就是他们对病人来去讲述这个状况和状态，然后我们会完全按照你的想法来进行这个治疗方案。但是我们是建议你能够回到家，然后平静的在家里面对死亡。
So when a person and their family decide that they're not going to you know, try and cure the disease anymore, they give up, then they go into what's called hospice.
Hospice?
Yeah.
Oh, it's like...
It's not a hospital.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're taken care of, but you're not going through any painful, expensive treatments anymore. You're just being kept comfortable until you die.
Oh, I see. Okay. So they give up and they decide to go to the hospice.
Yeah.
Okay. 那么因此的话呢，就是像在美国的话，如果一个病人要是决定放弃治疗，他和他的家人决定放弃治疗，他们就会去到一个类似于像医院一样的一个地方。而这个类似于像医院的地方的话呢，是不会给他们任何这种治疗的，就但是会把环境整个的这种状态治疗的非常的舒服。然后让病人在那里能够安安静静地面对死亡。
Yeah, so the hospice, if you're in hospice, it means it doesn't necessarily mean that you go to a special facility. It could mean that you just stay at home, and the doctor and the nurse will come and visit you and give you medicine to keep you comfortable until you die.
当然这个 hospice 的话它不仅仅是指一个特殊的地方就是病人要去到那儿才行它只是指这样一个过程一个阶段那一个病人也可以在家里面然后去平静的面对死亡的只是他在家里待着的时候会有医生或者是护士的话呢来上门来就是给他带一些东西啊或者是慰问啊然后是这样一种过程一种状态
So, The medicine in this case is just something to relieve pain.
而他们这些医生和护士所带来的药物的话呢，并不是治疗的药物，而是帮助缓解疼痛的药物。
Or to minimize the symptoms.
或者是把这个症状给减缓了的那种药物。
But in that case, the family and the patient, they decided, I'm not going to fight this anymore. I'm just going to try and be as comfortable as I can until I die.
所以说就这种情况来说，这个病人和他的家人的话呢，就决定已经不再去要去战胜，要跟这个死亡作战，然后就只是让自己尽可能的舒适，然后最终平静的这个走向死亡。
So this is becoming more common now in America and other countries, whereas before it didn't used to be.
而这种做法的话呢，现在在美国和在其他一些国家的话变得越来越普遍了，但是在当初的话呢都完全不是这样的一种做法的。
Because previously, in medicine and generally, people look at death as an enemy. That's something we must fight to the very end.
因为在之前的医药行业的话呢，人们普遍的一种观点是认为这个死亡就是敌人，那么我们一定要跟敌人一定要作战到最后一刻，绝不罢休。
This is especially difficult for family members.
但是这实际上这种做法对于家人，就是病人的家人来说是相当困难的。
Because they feel, even unrealistically, if I don't try and save my mother or my father, then I'm not a good son or daughter, and then they feel guilty.
Feel unrealistically?
Yeah, I mean, there's no hope, right?
Oh, I see.
Just if they know you have to go to the hospital, no.We have to buy this expensive medicine.
Oh, I see.
The reason they do that is so they don't have to feel guilty.
而实际上就是对于病人的家属来说的话呢，是非常困难的，因为从现实来看，基本上自己的这个家人，可能父亲或者母亲是完全没救了的。然后，但是的话呢，就是为了就是那种缓解他们的那种就是愧疚感，就是为了觉得就是我作为女儿或者作为儿子，我必须。就是要救我的父母啊！如果我不救的话，那是算什么样的一种儿女呢？然后，于是出于这样一种为了避免愧疚感的话，他们就不得不把自己的父母或者亲人，然后送去治疗，接受治疗。
Right. Or their mother or father has a stroke.
或者是比如说，如果要是一个人的父母得了中风的话
，Now they're in the hospital.
然后病人被送到医院。
They're brain dead.
而他们都已经脑死亡了。
But they're kept alive on a respirator.
但是却是被呼吸器拿来给，就是继续保持生命的，相当于是植物人那种。
And they feel guilty, you know, to turn it off and let them die.
而这样的病人的家人的话呢，可能就会觉得很痛苦，就是说，如果我把呼吸器拔掉的话，让自己家人死亡，这不真的是太过分的一种做法吗？
Yeah, so to answer your question, I think you should discuss, you know, with you and other family members, are you just trying to keep this family member alive because you feel guilty? Is it really what they want? Is it really the best thing for them?
To discuss with the family members,
Yeah.
所以说我觉得你问的这个问题的话呢，真的是可以和你的家人好好的商量一下，然后来看一看，就是继续去维持这位得病的家人的生命的话呢，是一种是你们是出于愧疚感想要去继续维持他的生命吗？然后会不会这种做法对他来说真的是最好的做法呢？
Yeah, so this requires you know that you have to really study a little bit about what you're doing so that you can make an informed decision.
Make a what decision?
Informed decision.
Oh, informed decision, I see. 所以说你真的需要去研究，好好的了解一下当下的这个情况是怎样的，就是病患的情况是怎样的。这样的话你们所做出来的决定才会是真正是有足够的这个信息量，然后才你来做出一个恰当的决定。
Yeah, so there's no easy answer to this question, and it really depends on so many circumstances.
比如说对于你提到的这个问题的话，真是没有一个简单的一个回答的，因为它取决于很多很多的这些状况和情况。
But if the disease is really incurable,
但是如果这个你所提到的家人的疾病真的是无法被治愈的话。
Then why prolong the loved one's suffering?
那如果你所提到的家人的疾病是真的无法被治愈的话，那为什么要去延长你的家人所遭受的痛苦的呢？
Is it really hope of a cure, or are you just feeling guilty?
你是真的期望就是这个治疗能够治愈得了他呢，还是仅仅是出于一种愧疚感呢？
And what does the person who's dying want?
而这个 遭受疾病的这位家人，他想要的是什么呢？
So those are the questions you have to ask, I think, before you can make a decision.
因此的话，这些问题是应该你在做决定之前可以先问一下自己，或者是跟家人讨论一下，然后再做出这样的决定，再做出决定吧。
Okay, thank you.
好的，谢谢你的问题。
I wish you well.
祝愿你一切都好。可以我们来看。Next one is from Sumuki Rada Basi. 我们不去救助家人，常会被认为是没有人性的。但是实际上，在药物和治疗方式上，很多根本就是更深的折磨。我们很多时候是在倾尽所有的使自己心爱的人备受折磨，不肯放手而已。而医疗机构对此甚至是麻木的，高额的医疗费用是用于满足医生的生活或者是感官享乐的收入渠道，这就是可怕之处，对人性的考验。这种面对死亡的勇气和理性态度，中国人是需要时间去建立的。Sumuki Rada Mataji is just commenting about what the previous question. So if we do not help, you know, try to help save our family members, then that usually can be considered as inhumane. But practically speaking, when it comes to the medicine and treatment, a lot of it just causes more suffering and torture. And many times we're just...trying to give everything so that our loved ones will not suffer. We just do not want to let go. However, the medical institution in China is very, they're just very indifferent. The very high medical fees are just, to satisfy, to give more pleasure to the doctors or just some channel for people to gain sense gratification.This is really very terrible. So it's a test for our humanity. Such courage and rational attitude to face death is what the Chinese people need to cultivate through time.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I think that's starting to happen, all over the world. But some places are becoming more compassionate and more humane.
所以说顾茹就对刚才 Smoky Rada Mata 其实说的这些话提出的评论哈，就说确实如此，现在在全世界的话呢，就是人们开始在全世界的范围，大家都在开始培养对于死亡的这种勇气和理性的态度，只不过在有些地方的话呢，就是这种就是发生的更快一些而已。
Yeah, so this hospice is really it's a worldwide movement. It's evolving, in medicine all over the world.
而刚才我所提到的这种 hospice 就是这种在不接受治疗，而只是就是平静面对死亡，在家里或者是在另外一个医疗机构里平静的面对死亡，然后接受一些药物来缓解疼痛的话呢，那么这种做法在全世界都是在不断的在发展着的。
And actually, it's good for all people, even young people, to have what's called a medical directive.
Directive?
A medical directive. In other words, you consider all the different things that can happen to you, and you tell your loved ones, you tell your family, if this happens, this is what I want.Because once you become unconscious, you can't talk, right?
I see. 然后顾茹说的话呢，甚至是有一个比较好的一种做法哈，就是对于所有人来说，特别是对于年轻人来说，都是可以提前的告知自己的家人。就是比如说，如果这件事情发生在我身上的话呢，我就希望你能够怎么做，因为就是当一旦要是遭遇不幸、遭遇不测的话。要是比如说失去那种知觉的话，失去意识，你是根本无法做决定的。那么在这种情况下，如果你提前告诉你的家人你想怎么办，那么家人就可以来帮你做到了，这样也是一种很好的做法。
So I've already told my doctor, I've written it down, I made it in writing, I've given it to my doctor and to my children, to my wife, if I have a stroke, or if I have a heart attack, or I can't breathe, or I can't eat, don't do anything. Let me go.
所以说我就已经就是去跟我的家人哈，我的妻子和我的孩子，然后甚至我跟我的医生，然后包括我还以书面的形式全部都写下来了。就是如果我要是发生，我要是中风，或者是得了心脏病，或者是我都无法进食、无法呼吸，或者是失去知觉的这种情况下的话，那么就让我直接死亡就好，就不要对我进行任何的这种治疗了。
So in this way, the family members know what you want, and they don't have to feel guilty.
嗯，那么以这样的方式的话呢，你的家人就知道你要的是什么，那么他们也不会因为没有治疗你而心怀愧疚之感。
And the doctors and nurses also know what you want, so they don't do anything extra that they don't have to.
嗯，而并且，那么你的医生和护士也知道你想要的是什么，然后他们也不会去做额外的一些事情，然后
Yeah, or if they have material motive to make more money, the family members know, oh, no, she didn't want that, you know, don't do it.
然后或者是如果要是医生和护士有这样一种物质的这种意图企图的话呢，想要通过额外的这些治疗然后来赚钱的话，那么家人都已经知道这个患病的这个家人他的意愿是什么，那么家人都可以去阻止这样的现象发生。
OK 我来看下一个问题。 OK 下一个还是 Smoky Rala Mata 问的，感恩布玛拉的精彩讲课，请问除了在传教中的纯粹心态之外，我们是否也要怀着纯粹的心态去面对工作和生活中的一切呢？对一切人事物都保持单纯，不去期望满足个人的物质愿望，这显然是并不容易的，尤其是现代人的生活是那么没有安全保障，生存的压力非常巨大，人们如何才能在这种情况下获得高度的安全感？人们甚至很害怕接受没有条件的给予，认为背后有什么企图，因为一直以来我们都深受其害。Okay, so Smoky Rala Dasi is saying that what you have just mentioned, that we should have a pure motive in preaching. So should we also have the pure motive, pure mentality to face everything in our work and in our life, to be pure or innocent towards everything and everyone, not trying to fulfill personal material desires. However, this is not that easy, especially in modern times, people's life do not have security guarantee, no security, and such huge pressure on survival. Then people, how to gain high security under this circumstance? How to gain high security under circumstance? Because there's no security about the material life and a lot of pressure on survival. And people are even afraid of accepting other people's giving without any conditions. Like, I give you something and I don't want anything from you. And, the person might actually be scared, thinking that there might be agenda behind.
Yeah, well, as far as preaching goes, you should only pick the right mangoes, otherwise you'll interrupt their progress.
那么就刚才提到的这个传教当中的这种心态的话呢，就提一点，那么对于传教来说，我们应该只去摘下那些已经成熟了的芒果，而不是去对于那些还没有做好准备的人去传教。
Right, so you can cultivate the soil before you plant the seed.
播下种子之前，你总是可以首先把这个土壤给准备好的。
And as far as becoming pure, well, that's our process, right? We're gradually becoming ripe mangoes or pure devotees. Maybe we're not pure yet.
而就你提到的这种保持单纯的心态的话，实际上这就是我们所接受的这个奉爱瑜伽的修习过程啊。 它就是通过这个过程的休息，使得我们能够成为成熟的芒果，使得我们能够成为纯粹的奉献者。那么即便现在我们都还并不纯粹。
Right, we chant Hare Krishna and that purifies our consciousness.
我们念诵 Hare Krishna 曼陀，而这个就能来净化我们的知觉。
But the Lord also says that you have to become introspective. You have to become the gardener of your heart. The gardener of your heart.
但是主也说过，我们必须还要同时能够往内看，也就是说成我们内心的花园的园丁。
So we have to be present enough and sincere enough to notice when we have material motivations.
因此我们要有足够的诚实，足够的真诚，以及足够的灵在，才能够注意到自己的个人动机。
Those are called weeds.
而这些个人的欲望的话呢，就被称之为叫做杂草。
So first we have to look for weeds.
那么首先我们要去看一看草存在。
Then if we see one, we have to be sincere enough.
如果我们看到有杂草的存在，我们是不是足够真诚的想要把
？That's part of the process.Bhakti.
而这个就是 Bhakti 的修习过程的一部分。
That's part of developing pure chanting.
而这个就是发展出纯粹的念诵的一部分。
So only we can do that. It takes our free will.
而只有我们自己才能够做到，因为这是需要有自由意志的。
Yeah, we either maintain the material conception of life.And we see it, and we
人生对于生命的这种物质化的概念，要不然的话，我们就真的能够从而能够得以去放手他们。
That's up to each one of us.
而这个是我们每个人自己能够做出的决定的。
Sorry, thank you for your comments.
其实谢谢你的这些评论。Okay, next one. 加亚·克里希纳连契昆采用呼噜唱圣名，眼睛能看到脑海中的画面，心而将自己与躯体分开，耳朵能听到你唱诵圣名的方法。这种唱诵圣名的方法接近解脱阶段吗？出阶段还有多远？顶拜呼噜的莲花瓶。This devotee is asking that he is adopting your method to chant the holy name, and his eyes can see the pictures in his mind, and his heart can differentiate himself from the body, and he can really clearly listen to the holy name. So such chanting already is very close to the liberation stage, and how long will he go through to become to totally realize Brahman? Sorry, his writing is a bit obscure, so I'm trying to understand it. Yeah, this is what I understand.
Yeah, so Prabhupada says there's three stages in chanting.
所以说布鲁回答是，就是帕帕说到念诵分三个阶段。
There's the offensive stage.
第一种就是充满冒犯的念诵。
These were completely in the bodily concept of life.
那么在这个阶段当中，我们在念诵，但是完全处于对于物质、对于生命的这种物质概念。
对。
然后第二种阶段就是清除的阶段。
We start to see our material motives.
我们能够开始看到自己的物质的这些企图和欲望。
And we start to let them go.
我们开始能够去放手这些物质的欲望和企图。
And we see we're not the mind and the body.
我们能够看到自己不是这具躯体，不是这个灵，不是这个心意。
We see I'm pure awareness.
我们能够看到自己作为纯粹的知觉而存在。
That's the clearing stage.
而这个就是清除冒犯的阶段。
One is already liberated.
One is already liberated in this clearing stage.
Yes.
而在这样一个清除进化的阶段当中， Guru Maharaj, so I just want to be clear. So clearing stage, meaning clearing contamination stage?
You're becoming clear of your bodily conception of life, clear of the 10 offenses.
I see. 所以说到这个清除的这个阶段，我刚刚就问顾了这个，他说到清除是清除什么的意思？他说这个清除是指清除自己对于躯体的这种物质化概念的这个清除阶段，以及清除这个相冒犯的这个清除阶段。所以说这种清除阶段的话呢，就会一个人已经达到了这样一个解脱的状态了。
So you clearly see what you're not.
你能够很明显的、很清晰的看到你不是什么什么。But
your spiritual identity hasn't been revealed yet.
但是在这样的一种状态当中，你的灵性的身份还没有向你揭示。That's
the clearing stage.
嗯，所以说，这个刚才所提到的，就是这个清除的阶段，就是你看到自己不是这个躯体，不是这个心意，然后你已经处于这样一种解脱的境界，但是的话呢，你的灵性的身份还没有向你揭示开来。
So that's liberation.
所以这个就是解脱。But
complete love of God has not manifested yet.
但是在这个阶段当中的话呢，对于神、对于主的这种纯粹的爱都还没有觉醒。When
one becomes very advanced in chanting, then gradually one's swarup is revealed, one's spiritual identity is revealed.
而当一个人在念诵当中已经走到非常进步、高阶的阶段的时候，那么他的这个 swarup， 他的这个灵性的躯体就会向他揭示。And
then your natural love for Krishna in a particular way is revealed.
然后你对于 Krishna 的这样一种特别的这种爱，然后这种特定的爱，你作为一种特定身份对 Krishna 的这种本质的爱的话，就会揭示开来。
So that's the perfection.
而这个就是完美。
Of the third stage.
或者被称为叫做第三个阶段。
The pure name.
这个纯粹的圣名的念诵。
So that's beyond pure bhakti is beyond liberation.
就是纯粹的 bhakti 是超过了这个解脱阶段的。
So as far as how long it takes, it's up to you.
所以说，至于这个会需要多长时间才能到达这个纯粹的 bhakti 的阶段呢，这就是取决于你了。
So we have this free will.
所以我们每个人都是有自由意志的。So
Krishna says, as one surrenders unto Him, He rewards one.
Krishna 也说过，一个人只要向他臣服的话，他就会回报这个人。
So just keep doing what you're doing.
所以你就继续去做自己在做的这些练习，这些休息的过程。And
be patient.
然后满怀耐心。Yes,
stay enthusiastic, confident, and be patient.
就是继续保持你的热情，保持你的耐心，然后保持你的信念。And
patient means that we trust Krishna. We part of surrender to Krishna is we depend on Him, to reveal Himself.
而保持耐心的意思的话，实际上就是指我们对他是心怀信任的，因为臣服的一部分就是完全的去依靠于 Krishna， 而依靠于 Krishna 的话呢，就是依靠于，就完全取决于他，他想什么时候向我们揭示他的话，这就是他的决定了。
We trust that He knows what we need more than we do.
我们能够完全信任 Krishna， 信任他知道他比我们更清楚我们需要什么。And
that He cares for us more than we care for ourselves.
并且我们完全的相信 Krishna 是更加照顾我们，然后甚至比我们在意自己、爱自己还更加的在意，他比我们还更加的在意我们、爱我们。
Yeah, so we want to adopt the mood of Lord Chaitanya.
因此我们想要采用主Chaitanya的心态。
He says, as he's chanting, he says, whether you embrace me or push me away, you will always be my Lord.
所以主才大量的时就说过，无论您是拥抱我还是把我推开，那么你永远都是我的主。
So that kind of attitude the Lord cannot resist.
而这样的一种态度的话呢，是主完全无法能够给拒绝的。
So just chant with that attitude.
所以说你就可以带着这样一种态度来念诵。
And if you have that attitude, you can patiently wait.
当你有了这样一种态度的时候，然后你就可以非常耐心的去等待。
Okay.
Okay. That's it?
Yes. Good job. Thank you so much, Noani. And I thank Sister Rada. And I'll talk to you next week.
Thank
you so much, Noani. And I thank Sister Rada. And I'll talk to you next week. Thank you so much, Noani.
要归于帕婆加瓦坦，所有的人都归于需要分担问答。
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.